This is going to be a little different today. Today is World Communion Sunday and Peacemaking Sunday. We share with Christians around the world communion on this day. You need to remember that there are no favored nations in God's kingdom. We are all equal in God's sight. But God, through Jesus, has called us to be a transformative people, people who work to transform the world. God is at work in us right now and calls us to become who God has called us to be and created us to be. When I was at the Church of All Nations in Columbia Heights, we had people from Kenya, Tanzania, South Africa, India, Liberia, Korea, China, Brazil, Argentina, and Singapore. When we did communion there and I looked out at the congregation, I would see a tapestry of colors. And I was reminded then that this is what the kingdom of God looks like. It's a lot different than us who are gathered here. We are minorities in God's kingdom. And I don't know if that registers in our minds, but that is the truth of the matter. There are more Presbyterians in Korea than there are in the United States. Okay, and there are a lot of Presbyterians in Kenya and Tanzania and places in Africa as well. So as I was thinking about all of that and what the church is, we here in America think that this is what the church looks like. But we couldn't be further from the truth. In God's kingdom, people who look like us will be the minority. And we also need to understand that there are no favored nations in God's kingdom. We Americans aren't better than anyone else, even though we like to think of ourselves as exceptional. The truth is, we aren't. So what is the church supposed to be? So today I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Through chapter 4, verse 16. Now, you need to understand, this was a letter that was sent to the churches in Asia Minor, or what now is Turkey. Ephesus was the first church on the list and on the way. The courier would come with that letter, and he would read it. Okay? He would read it out loud to the people who were gathered there. So think of me as a courier today, reading this letter, not all of it, just most of the first four chapters. There are six chapters altogether. There's a lot of material, and for me, this is one of the most inspirational letters in all of Scripture, and I love Ephesians. But I hope that you can hear the flow of what Paul is saying and writing to the churches of what we know as Turkey. So I'm going to read from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. So listen to the flow. I, Paul, under God's plan as an apostle, a special agent of Christ Jesus, writing to you faithful believers in Chippewa Falls, greet you with the grace and peace poured out into our lives by God our Father and our Master, Jesus Christ. How blessed is God, and what a blessing God is. God is the Father of our Master, Christ Jesus, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before God laid down earth's foundation, God had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of love, to be made whole and holy by God's love. Long, long ago, God decided to adopt us into the family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure God took in planning this. God wanted us to enter into the celebration of this lavish gift-giving by the hand of God's beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. God thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans that God took such delight in making. God set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Christ, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, God had God's eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment of what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all of the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. But I'd do more than thank. I would ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do and grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless love, boundless strength. All of this energy issues from Christ, and God raised him from death and set him on throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all of this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. It wasn't long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, God embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. God did all of this on his own with no help from us. And then God picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where God wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all God's idea, all God's work. All we do is trust God enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. God creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work that he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. But don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you outsiders to God's way and God's works hadn't the faintest idea of Christ and who Christ was You knew nothing of the rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel. Hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. But now because of Christ, dying that death, shedding that blood, you who were once far off and out of it all together are now in on everything. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall that we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. And then he started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here, with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. And God is building a home, and he is using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds it all together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. This is why I, Paul, am in jail for Christ, having taken up the cause of you outsiders, so-called. I take it that you're familiar with the part I was given in God's plan for including everybody. I got the inside story on this from God himself, as I just wrote to you in brief. As you read over what I've written to you, you'll be able to see for yourselves into the mystery of Christ. None of our ancestors understood this. Only in our time has it been made clear by God's Spirit through his holy apostles and prophets of this new order. The mystery is that people who had never heard of God and those who have heard of him all of their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, the same help, the same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcome to everyone across the board. This is my life's work. Helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise. God handling all of the details. And when it came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped. But you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and the generosity of Christ. My task is to bring it out in the open and make plain what God who created all of this in the first place has been doing in secret behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. All of this is proceeding along lines planned all along by God and then executed in Christ Jesus. When we trust him, we're free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. So don't let my present trouble get you down. or don't let my present trouble on your behalf get you down. Be proud. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. And I ask God to strengthen you by God's Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly in love, you will be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full of the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. God does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. God's Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God and the church. Glory to God and the Messiah in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, in light of all of this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the Master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. Run on the road that God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one Master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, who works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated by oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of generosity of Christ, each of us has been given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy and seized the booty, he handed it all out, or handed it all out in gifts to the people. Is it not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down, down to the valley of the earth? And the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to highest heaven. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven and earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, to train Christ's followers skilled in servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. Let there be no prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. So may we live. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. It gives us so much to ponder and think about. And we are grateful for your amazing love and grace that you lavished upon us. You spared nothing for us. And so oftentimes we find ourselves struggling just to take one step in front of the other. remind us again and again of how much you love us and how generous you have been to us in your gifts, in the expression of your love. Help us to find ways that we can embody that as a people and welcome the stranger in our midst and tear down the walls that would divide us from one another and from those who are on the outside of our church. Thanks for your love and for your grace. Amen. I know that was different. But sometimes we just need to hear the word, and instead of breaking up the passages in 8 or 9 verses, we just need to hear the continuity of it. And I hope you heard the flow of that, because it's really important. And if you want to read it again, I would encourage you to, when you get home, look up Ephesians chapter 1 through chapter 4. Read the whole thing, 6 chapters. It's not all that long. But if you want to be inspired, if you want to be inspired, read Ephesians, because it has so much.